Everyone, and welcome to our ordinary council meeting for July. Today, Wednesday the 23rd of July, I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:32 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people whose land we're on this evening, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadiyara elders past, present and future in working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Thank you.
Feel like there's more people in the gallery than here at the table. Welcome everyone. Item 2, recording of attendance and apologies. Attendance as listed there, with apologies from Councillor Jacob and approved leave of absence from Councillor Hooper and Councillor Taylor. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from the public at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 25th of June. There are nil. 3.2, questions from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 25th of June. We've got the response there for Councillor De Cash. Item 4, public time. Just an important note, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, and they may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland local law, on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual, vocal, electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. So public, this is your time in the meeting. Item 4.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 5:34. Are there any public questions? Welcome.
Thank you very much.
If there are no public questions, I declare public question time closed at 5:34. And now I'll open public statement time, item 4.2 at 5:35. Are there any public statements that anyone would like to make? Okay, I declare public statement time closed at 5:35. Okay, item 5, questions from members without notice. Councillor De Cash. Councillor Gillingham.
Oh yeah, just a couple of quick ones. Thank you, Mayor Howlett. I did have a phone call from Mr. Chris Wally, and I know that we have renamed the Kingsford Business Park as Kingsford Smith Business Park, and he wanted to say thank you, but I'm just wondering also, because he's instigated it, is there a possibility that we could look into maybe writing to him to let him know that that has happened?
Do you have his address?
I can probably find that out, perhaps.
Are you supplying his address to governance?
All right.
We'll be very happy to
write. Yeah, and he just wanted to say that he was very elated when he found that out. Yeah, thank you. Just a couple of things on road signs, if I may. I've been watching the last few days. A 6 Mile Creek road sign with the Grey Street sign is missing. I don't know whether that's to be replaced.
Yes, so have you sent it off as a works request?
I haven't, but I just wanted to check
just
first.
Just submit it as a works request.
Okay. And also, road signs to go over the Warwalk bridge, the new railway crossing. I'm wondering, are there any other new signs going to be added? Because of the main roads, only that I find that when you're travelling to South Hedland and as you come over the bridge and go straight into the bend to the roundabout, it's a very short time to say you have to get into that right lane because you're going to south. And coming back through the roundabout, if you're not in that right lane, you actually get caught in the left lane as if you're turning to go to the Wedgefield.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who are new to town, there weren't any clear signs that I could see, or are they going to be installed?
We'll
take that on notice.
All right. Mm-hmm. And the last one was regarding the meetings on Saturday regarding the marina positioning and also the yacht club. I did speak with Mr. Roger Richardson, and I'm just wondering, because he addressed the public there, is there a possibility that the next time that we get to listen to anything to do with the positioning of the marina, could we invite Mr. Roger Richardson along and give his presentation, which he didn't have an opportunity to do here in front of people, but it may be of interest to many other members of the public.
Yeah, we'll certainly consider that.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Butler?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Melville?
Nothing, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Can I please have a show of hands? Let the record record 6-0. Thank you. Okay, item 7, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, if I may, Mayor Howlett, I'd just like to stand up and table some words, if I may, and read them out to you.
So this is in the context of the minutes from the previous meeting?
Yes, yep. Of the minutes of the 25th of June.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. I'll stand up for this, if I may, everybody. I would just like to give a public apology. And this is dated the 23rd of July. I'd like to say to Mayor Kelly Howlett and fellow councillors, to CEO Mal Osborne and staff of Town of Port Hedland and of Council, and to the public gallery. I'd like to table the following in regard to remarks I made during the discussion and within my right of reply for the agenda item 11.5.3 at the June Ordinary Council meeting of the 25th of June 2014. So I do hereby issue a public apology for any interpretation of the comments that I made during discussions within the agenda item 11.5.3 at the Ordinary Council meeting held the 25th of June 2014. Yours sincerely, Councillor Janet Gillingham. Thank you. I'd like to table that.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to
put
that forward.
Thank you. All right, thank you. So with that, and with the item 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday the 25th of June, I'd like to, if I can, perhaps attach or include this in some way as being recorded and linked to, made today, but linked to those minutes and recording. I don't know if we can do it as an appendix or an attachment or something that accompanies these minutes.
Through you, Madam Mayor, what we'll do is put a note under that particular item and link it back to this agenda item and the minutes and the tabling of the apology on the 23rd of July.
No, thank you, much appreciated.
So moved by Councillor Gillingham, seconded by Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Thank you. Okay, item 8, announcements by a presiding member without discussion. Again, it's been a busy period and certainly have been enjoying the nice weather and the number of community events and activities that accompany this time of year. But I think the standout in the time since our last meeting was NAIDOC Week, and I think NAIDOC Week in the town was a fantastic series of celebrations, activities, but also just coming together of different organisations. And I think it was great that we were able to help in promoting all the different organisations, whether it be the hospital, Kalara House, Wirikamaya, that had activities and were able to get them out to the public. And I think next year and in future years, we'll be able to work together to really highlight and put a very comprehensive calendar of events for NAIDOC Week out there so the public know. And certainly I want to take the opportunity again to congratulate our 7 NAIDOC Week Hedland 2014 award winners. Those 7 award winners were very, very deserving and very well done, and certainly you could just see the difference it actually made to some of those award winners that they were recognised by their peers. So that was terrific. Certainly all the nominees, and I've sent a letter congratulating all 32 nominees for their nomination in the NAIDOC Awards for this year. And certainly it was a very proud moment for the organisation for me to have the opportunity to publicly commit to and show our support for our Reconciliation Action Plan. So I'm really encouraged and look forward to seeing everyone, whether it be elected members, staff, members of the public, everyone and anyone being involved in this. It certainly is both for Indigenous community members, but also non-Indigenous community members. So looking forward to that. Certainly you'll see that from the 13th of June and on other occasions, still chairing our multi-agency task force in regards to children at risk, youth on the streets. And certainly I'd just like to bring to everyone's attention, and maybe I might be able to weave it in some way through telephone or Skype, the opportunity through this task force, we linked in with the manager of the Kununurra Youth Service. The Kununurra Youth Service is actually, it's operated by the Save the Children foundational group, and certainly just listening to the issues that are in Kununurra and some of the things that they're doing there are very similar. Like, they have a night patrol, we've obviously got the mingle mob, but listening to the different hours of operation and what they do, certainly it was just refreshing to hear the experiences, a lot of the challenges, a lot of the issues that we have. They operate a youth diversionary program every Friday and every Saturday. So ours is only fortnightly, so I think it's good for us to be able to aspire to do something every week. And what I was very impressed to hear was our slam only goes till about 9 p.m, but their chilling zone actually goes until 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. So there is opportunity to actually be working with youth and engaging them into the later hours and still getting them home. So I think that was really good to hear. I really, and certainly the other task force members really were very positive and enthused about some of the activities they're doing up there. They actually had a NAIDOC ball for the kids. Like, so during NAIDOC week, they actually had a NAIDOC ball where all the kids, 150 odd children aging from 5 up to 16, all got dressed up smartly and attended a ball and got their gear from St. Vinny's and wherever else they did, but looked very smart and had an enjoyable time. And also on NAIDOC week in Kununurra, the youth service up there actually operated a NAIDOC week basketball competition. And certainly basketball is very popular here, but to hear them recount that, you know, nearly 400 children were involved in that basketball carnival and it was quite a pivotal thing for that community, I just thought there's some of the opportunities we could look at. And particularly in Kununurra, they've actually got a linkage and a formal MOU with Bond University, where Bond University actually sends over university students that are training, doing stuff, to actually come and help run the school holiday program activities, which I thought, wow, that's a bonus, and that's something that we could definitely explore here, particularly with some of the accommodation providers and the opportunities that we've got at the moment. So I really think that it'd be good for a lot more of us to hear about what they're doing in Kununurra. I'm not saying it's the solution, but there is some things that I think we could tweak our existing programs and just get them running a little bit more as well. So just wanted to share that, and I think if there's an opportunity that we can hear a little bit more, find out a little bit more, maybe even do a road trip to Kununurra, that's what we might have to do to just check that out a little bit more. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. So that's the end of my report. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Councillor De Cash?
No, madam, you've covered most of the stuff that we're tenant together, so.
Councillor
Gillingham? Yeah, Mayor, pretty much everything that I think you have attended. The public forum, though, on Saturday morning at the Civic Centre Lawns area was a very healthy public discussion that took place, and it was good that everybody could sort of air their views and see what the public really wanted to. Today was the official opening of the North West Coastal Highway, the flyover, the new bridge, which has now given us back the chance to do 12 minutes to South Headland from Port Headland like we used to in the old days. And that. I also attended the South Headland Bowls opening and the opening of the dinner, the closing dinner there, and also the Business After Hours event at the Esplanade, where I learned a lot more about the Air North Aviation Company and also the lovely Eco Beach, which is offering some really great prices for our community. So it's good to know all that's happening.
Thank you.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing to report, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Butson?
Nothing to report, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Melville.
Madam Mayor, if I may, with your permission, just quickly make mention of our Stay Chatty quiz night coming up on the 2nd of August, Saturday night before the Headland Cup. I'm heavily involved in this after running the inaugural event last year, where we raised some $16,000 to go towards awareness of youth silverside. And it was magnificently received by the community, and really looking forward to another fantastic quiz night hosted by yours truly. So if you don't hear enough of me already, please come along. We got some wonderful sporting memorabilia for auction, DJ on the night, $20 a head. We'll hopefully get a email template out to everyone on the list to make them aware. But really looking forward to a great night. We're still trying to work on perhaps getting an AFL representative to come up as a bit of a guest speaker. But regardless, it'll be a fantastic night. So anyone interested, please come along. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, councillors, for all your efforts and endeavours. Item 10 now, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. 10.1, we have Roy Hill, and today we actually have Jeanette Hazelby and Selena Watts. So welcome, and the floor is yours.
Would you like us to come up here?
Wherever you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Perhaps we'll do one each side.
Yeah.
So. I'd like to thank everyone, the staff, councillors, and Mayor Harlett and the public for the presentation tonight. Roy Hill does these updates from time to time on the progress of the project, and I think we've got a few, we might sit down, that's okay.
Yeah,
we've got a few milestones we'd like to tell you about tonight. Obviously, I'm not Daryl Hockey. Last time I was here, I was with Daryl. Daryl resigned from Roy Hill about 4 weeks ago, just after Selena had only been with the project for a short time. Selena now heads up communications, and I head up community. So we both expect to have an ongoing relationship with the town of Port Hedland, particularly now as the project has achieved finance, which is a really significant milestone, and we expect our community role to start ramping up from this point. I wanted to start with showing you a vision of our new headquarters that we're really proud of. It's out near the International Airport. We call it the ROC, the Remote Operations Centre and Corporate Headquarters. And that particular art piece was the winner of the Sculptures by the Sea, sponsored by Roy Hill and Hancock Prospecting, and you can see it outside the headquarters. And it's an amazing building. I welcome, if anyone is in Perth and would like to come out and see what a remote operations centre looks like and functions like, I'd welcome a visit any time. So, some progress. This is an amazing stat for us. It's 50% completion and it's continuing at about 4% per month. So we're ahead of schedule and really proud of that. For those who haven't heard of Jimbata, that's the airport that services the mine out at Roy Hill. And we now have 737s going in several times a week, and the remainder of the week we have smaller planes. More than 3,500 personnel on site. In the actual project, I think it's more like 4,700. And accommodation at the mine site, the four rail camps, and at Gateway Village and in the homes is in excess of 4,300. And you can see 10.5 million man hours. So here's the personnel. If you look at the contractors, are our tier ones and our subcontractors who are in the construction mode, but not for that much longer. So you can see most of them are in the Pilbara and then contractors in Perth. The PMC, the project management company, Parsons Brinkhoff, 180 people, and then corporate, which we are part of. Mind you, we work across the whole project virtually. Now this is where I'm not a technical person and neither is Selena, so no deep technical questions about some of these things for us, but over a third of the piles, I've got some vision of these, have been driven. I had to check that terminology because it sounded strange to me, but you'll see what I mean when I show you. I'm sure you've seen this before. The earthworks, you've seen that around the port, I'm sure. And now some of the vision. So we actually saw this when we came in today.
Yeah. You get a great view from the sky if you're ever in the plane. You look out, it's fantastic. Mm. So. But rail loop.
And there's those
pilings.
Yes. And rail, four of the rail bridges are done. And then you may have seen the Flashbutt welding yard. If you drive by, it's visible from the road. And it's more than 60, I think it's close to 70 kilometres of rail already completed, and that's one of the first wagons that was delivered. And there's the Flashback Welding Yard. I came out to the rail laying ceremony about a month ago, and the Gurriyara people did some singing and did a ceremony to celebrate the opening of the yard run by John Holland. So it was quite a big day. We had, I think there must have been in excess of a dozen traditional owners came out for that celebration. And there's the track laying. you're all familiar with the East Turner River Bridge, a couple of years of that. So out at the mine, the earthworks are virtually completed and now mobilisation happening for most aspects of the process plant, and the non-process infrastructure buildings are progressing well. The whole mine village is now complete. This is my first mining project. As some of you who remember me from last time know, I came from government, from education and training. So when I see the facilities at the mine site, they're amazing to me, but I hear from everybody else that they're five star and really well enjoyed my people there. So first blast on the 12th of April of this year, and operations officially commenced on the 30th of April. So there you can see some of the high-grade ore stockpiled, and we're well ahead of schedule with mining. There's another view. There's a view of the at the Rock, our remote operations centre, and you can see there, this is the area that will be doing all of the remote operations for the mine. They're already into activity, and when you go by, those white screens are generally full of figures and graphs and so on, and we have a viewing area for the public to be able to come in and have a look at that area, with the idea that one of our projects in the future is to do with remote operations, and we're looking to start some opportunities in the Pilbara for training in this area, with a view to people being able to come to Roy Hill and do some work experience, work there, and at least for school groups to be able to come in and have a look at this. So there's a beautiful platform, and we've got some really great people that are very proud of what they're doing there and happy to explain the activities.
That, when you're looking down, is actually what we call our gallery room, and we're going to be actually turning that into sort of like a part education centre as well, you know, where people can come in, get an understanding of how the mine operates, get an understanding of the remote operations centre, and sort of see firsthand how it actually all works. So if you're ever down there, and we've actually established that, so that's a key project in the next 12 months for us to finish that, you know, you'll be able to see what actually happens out on site in this area as well. So it's very exciting.
Now this was something that I was asked to update on. In March of this year, the new Budari Station Road was opened with the access to the fishing grounds at the end of that. I understand there were some issues prior to that. I've checked with our port staff here, and they tell me that there has not been a problem since the one incident that we had there. But I wanted to show you a diagram so you'd see how it operates there. That's the new road in yellow, goes past the homestead out to the fishing grounds, and then you can see the intersection with the rail crossing, and then the old Budari Station access road is now an access road just for the project.
So do you know that's actually open to the public?
It has been since March.
Okay. Right.
And I, just to be sure, I checked with our senior person in the port today again, because I said I wanted to make sure of that fact.
Yeah.
And he also said that they've had no problems, people are regularly using it.
So Budari are obviously using that as
yes.
well as the home service.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it signposted so
yes.
That people know that that is the new access?
Yes, it's very clearly signposted.
Any fish?
I haven't actually had a chance to go fishing there, but I might speak to the CEO about that. We're here for a contractor forum tomorrow. We have around 100 of our contractors in town, and we'd like to regularly come to Headland for that. So I'll mention that the CEO suggested that we could do a spot of fishing.
It's not quite what I said.
In terms of housing, I was also asked about McGregor Street, or Tyndale Street as we call it. We're expecting the 22 homes there to be completed by June of next year, with a view to families moving in there. A further two homes for management at Pretty Pool, with the remainder of our accommodation at Gateway Village. So there aren't that many staff located at this end of the project. They're mostly at the Broadhill Mine end. But that's where housing is at the moment. I think Councillor well aware of what's happening with that development. The other part of my portfolio is a fabulous diverse experience. I'm also responsible for Aboriginal employment and contracting. At the moment, Roy Hill doesn't have massive numbers of staff on the project. It's mostly our contractors. The average across the project is 4.3%. We give priority to traditional owners, and right now we're recruiting for 12 as of yesterday, and I heard about a further series of positions today through Downer. So it's probably up to 20 positions that we're going to traditional owners first, and then local Pilbara Aboriginal people second, and local Pilbara people always get priority through our process. So I'm particularly proud of that, because we as a project have not set a target on purpose. I debated this at length with our CEO when we first met, and he said the problem with targets, Jeanette, is there are two problems. One is, once you reach them, you've done your job and you might as well not try anymore. And the second issue is the way that data's used. He really wants to be able to say that any traditional owner that wants work and meets certain levels, certain skill levels that are required, is able to find work on the project. And that's the mantra that I work with, and we've got quite a few traditional owners on the project already. We have ongoing training through our contractors at the moment, but also through Roy Hill in the future. This year there are 35 training positions that we have in place, and that's without talking to the rest of our contractors. The third stat is the really hard work one for me. I've done a lot of work with our traditional owner contractors. So with Aboriginal contracting, I started out with two databases, one for the Gariyara, Balgu and Nirbali companies, who have to satisfy certain definitional requirements to be considered a traditional owner company, and one for local Aboriginal contractors as well. I've worked really hard with the traditional owners. We've managed to get 40% across the line with some project work, which I think is pretty good, considering that's the whole continuum, from the person with the one water cart which is leased out to another company who's looking for more work but doesn't have any other machinery, through to some quite big companies. Now, we're determined to try and capacity build, and I know everyone says that. It's really a difficult field, but in the next month, we're hoping the beginning of September, we're going to run another contractor forum up here just for the traditional owner companies. Rather than have our contractors present what they have available, we're asking the traditional owners to come and set up their own stand or display and speak to the contractors about what they have to offer and what they'd like. That's one of a whole series of strategies, and my philosophy is to just try a whole lot of different things, and we're getting some good results. K plus P Foundation was my attempt at uniting all three traditional owners into a foundation. Yes, I didn't get across the line, but we have two who are now operating. They have contracts in place. And it's a not-for-profit foundation where the money made through the work that they're doing will be targeting a project for Port Hedland. Now, it's up to the traditional owners what that project will be, and they're not at the stage yet to be able to say, we have this amount of money to spend. We've worked very hard on capacity building. We even have their trust groups purchased iPads on which they get all of their minutes and agendas, and given two of our eight directors have never touched a computer before, I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. They've had their first session. We also have one traditional owner who's working on doing the organisation for a cultural awareness program. So it's trying to develop skills, and I've mentioned the traditional owner before. One last development that's in its infancy, but it's something that I'm working on at the moment that I just want to signal to the town of Port Hedland that we will be coming to talk to you about this. We decided to work on establishing a foundation with all of our contractors whereby people will contribute time, skills, services. And the four areas that I think resonate well with your community development plan are education, training, employment, focusing primarily on the Pilbara, culture and the arts, with enterprise linked to that, business development and community development in the Pilbara. We have a very strong view within the company that we want a lasting legacy, and I know they're very, very easy words to trot off, but I certainly have had that brief from the day I joined the company, that we want to be different, we want to be able to contribute to community, and we certainly will be working with your new community development director in that field, because we've got some work to do on our planning with the town as well. Ginia Reinhardt, Mrs. Reinhardt's daughter, has agreed to be the patron, and she probably will be a director on the foundation as well. Now that's the first stage of it. We will be coming to consult with you to ask you about what the priorities are for the Pilbara in your view, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with you and assist in some way. That's all that I wanted to say in my presentation. Ask Selena if you'd like to.
I think you covered it well. It's really open to questions, and hopefully between Janet and I will be able to answer your questions.
Terrific. Well, thank you. Councillors, any questions?
The one you mentioned, accommodation at a gateway village, what sort of accommodation is that? Housing or units? Or?
No, it's a camp village. They're rooms as well as chalets. And that's operated by
the SS
Compass.
That's what you're playing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions?
The viewing platform in your rock, wonderful for the schools in Perth to see what you're doing, but it would be wonderful for the children who live in this town, whose mums and dads may work there, to be able to see that. And I was just wondering if there was some sort of, you know, way of live screening or something like that could be shown in the visitor centre or someplace here in Port Hedland, that children here could go and have the same viewing opportunities that children in Perth do if they go as a class.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're really moving forward with is we have wonderful technology in this building. And I'd also suggest that there may be opportunities for some of those children to actually come and have an experience like that in Perth. But Selena also is working on quite a few things in the media area you might like to mention in relation to that.
I mean, I think there's a lot of scope in that area. You know, one of the things that we are looking at is our intranet, because we do have a lot of people who, you know, are not based, you know, on site at the Rock, and then to provide people access to see what is actually happening on our projects through that. You know, so for the people working on our project and their families, we're actually going to be establishing an extranet that's attached to the internet, to our website, so that they can go through, you know, passcode and then enter, you know, sort of like the Roy Hill community to have a look at that. But we can definitely, you know, that's an extension that we can also put into, you know, things like the website, you know, to bring what we do to the broader public.
I work in the museum downtown, and I have a lot of the tourists that come in, and they get a little bit frustrated. They actually can't see anything. Yeah. They can't see the operations of the port or anything, and it would be just good to see a little bit more live screening of things.
Yeah.
So that's my first question. The second question was about employment, education and training that you mentioned there, and you've got the Indigenous employment, but, you know, having had four children grow up here and many, many other children born here, it's very hard for non-Indigenous children to break into the mining companies and get jobs and training and employment from living here in Port Hedland. They have to move away to get re-employed to come back.
Councillor Hunt, if you have any family members, friends, who are looking for work at the moment, I strongly urge them to go to the website and submit their CVs, because we are ramping up at the moment. I've taken part in three assessment centres over the last month, which are designed to get people through the whole interview preparation process for employment. And we're employing in quite large numbers at the moment.
Fantastic.
Not all of the positions are skilled. There are entry-level positions too. And whilst I'm in this role to advocate for Aboriginal employment, where I don't have a success, I would always take a local Pilbara person if we can. Yeah. So there's port employment, there's ISS who run the rail camps. They have employment there as well, but right now is the right time.
Train riders and yep, those sort of
absolutely.
Train, you know, because yep, kids yep, see their dads driving trains, but, you know, they'd like to maybe learn how to drive a train or
yep,
those other skilled jobs that I'm talking about, the training side of working for, you know,
I think we are probably the only company at the moment that is employing around the place, and that's led to a lot of queries, emails, people who are coming from other projects, but this is what they call the ramp up time, so I would suggest that if they're available, they get on to it.
Fantastic.
I just wanted to ask, thank you, it's very important.
Thank you.
The Spinifex Spree festival we have on Saturday, I'm wondering, are you having a table of information booth or anything like that to give to the public, or it may be too short a notice, but something which a lot of businesses do have.
If, with a little more notice, I certainly would love to participate in, as that's one of our key areas. I have been to Spinifex Hill. I was really impressed with it when I went there. Yeah.
That's
this is
Spinifex. The festival.
Oh, the whole festival.
It's a festival.
So, yeah, we must get to your website more often so that we're in touch with events that are going on in the town. So, yes, I'd certainly love to participate in some of those.
Oh, good. And the other thing was, I know that your big screens that I've learned that you have them,
yes,
countdowns,
we do.
Which is like countdown to the first train loaded, countdown
yes,
to the ship. So, do we have a bit of an idea on that, where the clock is at the moment?
Yes, first door on ship is September 2015, and first door on train is a few months before that. So, yeah,
a big celebration at this end of
yes,
it all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes.
I think the key thing is that, you know, we've reached that 50% mark and we're progressing very well. You know, so we're confident that we'll achieve our targets. You know, and it's been well discussed that September 2015 is one of those key milestones for us, and there will be celebrations on September 2015.
Mm-hmm. I want to mention too, up until finance, we haven't done a lot of work within the community. That was the milestone that we had to achieve when we progressed in that area. We've just sponsored a small program for primary schools, and I think Headland Senior High is part of it as well, to do with art and writing for the schools in here as well as in Nullagine. So we'll be doing some more of that, but particularly through the foundation, I think we'd love to spend some time talking to a small representative group about what would be your drivers for that area.
Any other questions, councillors?
Jeanette, does that include traineeships and apprenticeships out there as well?
Less
or
traineeships.
Yeah.
Our traineeships and apprenticeships are delayed. They're not till 2016.
Yeah.
Having said that, it doesn't mean the contractors haven't got them in place.
Yeah.
If you look at NRW, for example, NRW run a power-up program, which is a training program. They run a new round every couple of months, and that's an entry-level program. And some of the other contractors have them as well. We'll be out at our contractor forum, and I keep forgetting the venue. I don't know why I keep wanting to call it the Aquatic Centre. So
it's
I need to drive where to drive. Yes. So we've just set up the yacht club this afternoon. We'll be there tomorrow with our 100 of our contractors. So if there are specific requests to do with traineeships, apprenticeships, we'll ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Can I just ask, with your employment, the accommodation for married people with children, are you looking at that situation? Are families accommodating families?
The 22 houses are certainly for families,
yes,
in Headland. It depends where the work is. So if it's out at Roy Hill, obviously that's a fly-in, fly-out situation.
Yeah.
But certainly in Headland.
Is that your limit, or are we going to look at expanding?
Well, the 22 is what we've built, but it doesn't mean that there can't be other families employed through the project.
Mm. Interesting. Thank you.
Jeanette, just wondering, I guess, just in the lines of accommodation, and I guess in light of the, you know, recent tragic events at Gateway Village, just wondering in regards to what's Roy Hill doing in terms of monitoring and ensuring employee and contractor employee health, well-being, and particularly mental health, well-being. Is Roy Hill doing something there?
Certainly. I'm going to hand over to Selena, but we've talked a lot about this in the last week because that was one of my portfolios in government as well, and it's no different for adults than it is for children. You have to have policies, procedures, support, and so on in place. And I'll let Selena talk about that.
As an organisation, I think anything that impacts the well-being or the health and safety is a concern, for us, and that was a very tragic situation. As an organisation, we do have employee assistance program, which is available not only to the employees but also to their families, and it's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service, and it's completely private and confidential. And so when people join Roy Hill, they are given access to this. We inform them through their orientations and their inductions, and they're given actual information about it. But we've also engaged the industrial chaplain to be out on our mine site 2 days a week. And that's open for people to go and speak to them if they so wish. We do expect our contractors to also have a similar level of support. Each contractor will have support that they believe is required for their people, but most organisations nowadays in that mining and resources and construction field do have EAP services available for their employees. In addition to that, we are looking at education and just basic awareness, because as you're as you can understand, mental health is a very difficult issue, and it can come from many different areas. So really it is about raising awareness and encouraging people to have the courage to go and seek help, if they feel they need to. So there is focus on that. It's definitely something that's generated a lot of discussion, not only within Roy Hill but within the industry, and also I think in the broader public, because there has been significant interest in terms of mental health and workers in the resources sector.
That's pleasing to hear. And Jeanette or even Selena, I guess my next two questions, and happy if you take them on notice if you can't answer them now, but very keen to hear Roy Hill's views, I guess, in regards to development in the West End. Does Roy Hill have an opinion or view on development in the West End?
I think that's one we have to take on,
I guess. It's all right. I guess my other one perhaps will be taken on notice as well is just in regards to Roy Hill's views in regards to siting of a proposed marina development in Port Hedland. Does Roy Hill have any views on potential sites or siting of a marina?
I think we need to take that to our leadership team and get some feedback. As you can probably understand, having had Daryl lead external affairs for the last 2.5 years, and he's only been not with us for several weeks now, that's a whole series of portfolios that certainly Selena and to a lesser extent I'm picking up.
Mm.
So I think that they're two questions that we would love to receive and get some formal feedback.
So do you want me to write them to you?
I'd love to.
Yep. Yes, thank you.
Any other questions, councillors?
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very
thank
informative.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no further petitions, deputations, presentations or submissions. Just an important note before we do commence the reports of officers. Just a disclaimer, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Without any further ado, item 11, reports of officers. Item 11.1.1, delegated planning, building, environmental health approvals and orders for June 2014. Do I have any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Hunt, seconded, Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, we're on page 20. Item 11.1.2, proposed final adoption of Scheme Amendment Number 68 to the Town of Port Hedland Planning Scheme Number 5. Do I have any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, we're on page 28. Item 11.2.1, Old Port Hedland Cemetery Upgrade. CEO?
So, through if I can, Madam Mayor, we're going to withdraw this item from the agenda tonight. We had sought approval for a reduced quorum, which was provided to us from the Department of Local Government Communities. That was prior to Councillor Jacob unfortunately falling ill, and the quorum and reduced absolute majority of 4 is now not able to be met. So we'll withdraw this item and look to whether we need to bring it back to a special council meeting or whether it can wait till the next OCM and we can still enact some of the components of that project.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Great.
Okay, so we're now on page 36, item 11.2.2, award of request for tender 14-05, replacement of glazing at Wanagara Stadium. Now, councillors, you have the page 36 that is on the public agenda. You also have a green page 36, which arose from the agenda briefing session of last week. Do I have any points of clarification? Do I have a mover? For the green sheet? So the difference with the green sheet, and if you had the joy of coming last week, was in regards to the questions being asked in regards to providing reports on protection options for the glazing, new glazing that will be installed at Wanagara Stadium. So that's a new part 3, which you'll see reflected on there. And that arose from the discussions of last week. So I have a mover and Councillor Hunt for the green sheet. This requires an absolute majority. So it's moved by Councillor Hunt, seconded by Councillor Melville. In doing so, I'll insert in the part 1, under the dollar value, $523,833, excluding GST. Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Melville. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Which is an absolute majority. Okay, we're now on page 40. Item 11.2.3, South Hedland Town Centre Road Modifications Updates. Now we have page 40, but also as a result of the discussions at last week's public agenda briefing, there is a green sheet there. That green has a new part 2. That is, request the Chief Executive Officer or his delegate to commence a 4 to 6 month trial period of road modifications after the preparation of a trial implementation plan and communication strategy.
And can I suggest we just make it 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm.
6 months, not 4 to 6.
Just a point of clarification, how long will it take to prepare the trial implementation plan and communication strategy?
I'll have to report back on that, Madam Mayor. Hopefully not too long.
Do I have any... I have a mover in Councillor Gillingham. I have a seconder in Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Community Engagement Strategy in brackets July 2014, Outcomes of Public Advertising, Feedback and Comment Period. Officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points.
Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, we're on page 50. Item 11.4.1, request to write off portion of electricity consumption charges. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Just concerning the figure, it says in somewhere here that they're willing to pay up $30,000. Could we get that $30,000 first and then discuss the other $11,000 later? Because in page 52, I'm receiving the invoice of the backdated usage charges. The SMO has requested the council accept the $30,000 lump sum payment to clear the invoice. Now I'm saying clear the invoice. I'm just saying let's get that 30,000 and talk about the rest later. Would that be possible, Madam Mayor?
Is that the intent of part two, CEO?
So, through Madam Mayor, we'll certainly be intending to gain the maximum upfront payment that we can. Bear in mind that offer was for the clearance of the invoice. We need to negotiate the full payment of the $41,322.04. So we'll be attempting to get as much as we can in an upfront payment. The balance will be paid under an agreed schedule.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. So moved.
Oh, was that you, Councillor Butson?
Yes,
move, Councillor. Oh, no. Point of clarification.
Sorry. So the amount that was actually paid was the $41,322 that we've actually paid? Yep. Is that a total amount?
That's the amount owing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
And has the Esplanade paid the $30,000 yet? No?
Any further questions, points of clarification?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, I've got a mover in Councillor DeCash, seconder in Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, item 11.4.2, community leasing policy. Absolute majority vote required here, councillors. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification.
Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded. Councillor Gillingham, do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, we're all on page 71. Item 11.4.3, draft rating strategy. Do I have any points of clarification?
Do you want to discuss some changes or not?
So, CEO, you're...
I defer to the Director of Corporate Services for the changes that have been made into the favour.
Okay. Yes, some changes as opposed to the one that was published in the business paper. Mm-hmm. This came from the title on the graph on page 9, ad valorem rates to differential rates.
Mm-hmm.
Means the same thing, just changed it. And put some page numbers on the document. And also, in terms of the rating improvement plan for 2014-15, adding some additional tasks in there around the rating of mining related parcels of land that involves identifying all the assessments covered by State Agreement Acts, comparing the current UV in accordance with the State Agreement Act with how the UV would otherwise be calculated, getting an understanding of that foregone rates revenue that the town is missing out on, and then reviewing the gross rental value spot rating for any on-site infrastructure related to the mining.
Any further points of clarification, councillors?
No points.
Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded. Councillor Melville, do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.4.4, financial reports of council for period end of 31st of May 2014. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, seconded.
Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded. Mayor Howlett, do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.4.5, elected member resignation. Do I have any points of clarification?
So moved.
Moved, Councillor DeCash, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. See everyone, okay. We're now on page 80. Item 11.4.6, Annual Corporate Business Plan, Quarterly Performance Report, 1st of April to 30th of June 2014. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor DeCash, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried, 6-0. Okay, item 11.5, Office of the CO, there are nil. Late items, as permitted by the presiding member council, there are nil. Item 13, reports of committees, there are nil. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Item 15, confidential items, there is an item. Item 15.1, Chief Executive Officer Employment Contract. Can I have a mover and seconder to go in confidence? Move, Councillor Hunt, seconded Councillor Melville. All in favour? Pass 6-0. So we're going to go in confidence. Sorry, members of the public, but you're most welcome to remain in the foyer for the deliberations and come back if you so wish. CEO, you'd like to table?
Madam Mayor, I need to disclose a financial interest in this particular item, item 15.1, CEO contract of employment, as the contract obviously affects my employment, therefore a financial interest, and I'll leave the chambers.
Right. So, outside of confidence, move Councillor Dekash to go out of confidence, yep. Seconded Councillor Hunt. Everyone's in favour, okay, so we can let everyone back. Recommendation that Council 1 received the report on the CEO employment contract, including the attached contract of employment for Mr. Osborne. 2, note the CEO recruitment working group has reviewed the attached contract of employment and views the contract of employment to be satisfactory. And 3, execute a new contract of employment, attachment 2, with Mr. Osborne of the Town of Port Hedland's Chief Executive Officer for a period of 5 years, operative from the date of signing, inclusive of total remuneration package of $397,040. That was passed by a simple majority, 4-2.
Thank you.
Congratulations, CEO. Good to have you on board. Okay. Item 16, applications for leave of absence. Councillor Cash.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gillingham. Councillor Hunt.
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Watson. Councillor Melville.
I believe I've already stated it, Madam Mayor, but just in case, 13th of August through to the 1st of September 2014.
Good work.
Just
thank
in case.
You.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Also, I'd like to table, I'll be taking some leave, August the 25th to the 28th, and also September 11th to September 30th to see good old North Melbourne. Can I have a mover and seconder to move that to me? Thank you, Councillor Melville. Seconded Councillor Dekash. Any against? Good work. Thank you. 6-0. Closure. Item 17. The date of the next meeting of Council will be Wednesday the 27th of August, commencing at 5:30 p.m. with the public agenda briefing being held on Wednesday the 20th of August, commencing at 3:30 p.m. And just a reminder and reiteration point that we have our community conversations point, a conversations event in Wedgwood at Zuma Cabinets next Wednesday the 30th of July, also commencing at 6 p.m. So please feel free to come.
Madam Mayor, just in closing, we're just wondering whether we might look to convene a special council meeting for next Wednesday at 5 p.m. to deal with the cemetery upgrade item.
Mm-hmm. Do you need it?
Yes. So okay. If that's appropriate, just advise and we'll put that in the notes.
Okay.
Four,
so Wednesday the 30th.
4:30.
At
4:30.
4:45.
That would help me. Yep.
4:45. So I've got a big workshop on before
with
that.
One agenda item.
With one agenda item, maybe two.
Okay.
Got a time frame on our CBD, just getting you worked up. It's all good. All right, so we've got a special council meeting on Wednesday, the 30th of July, commencing at 4:45 p.m. here in the council chambers. So if there's no further business, I declare tonight's meeting closed at 6:40. Thank you very much, elected members, governance staff, well done. CEO, directors, thank you. Thank you, everyone.